We are doing a quick review of Pirkei Avot, so we'll begin from the beginning. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai. We know Moshe got the whole Torah, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebaalpeh. Sarai, and he gave it over to Yoshua. Yoshua gave it over to Zkenim, to the elders, Zkenim and Nevi'im. The elders gave it over to the prophets, Nevi'im Sarol and Sheknes Tagdola, and the prophets passed it on from prophet to prophet till we reached the men of the great assembly. These are the great people who led the Jewish people at the beginning of the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. And they're called the men of the great assembly because their assembly is the one that reinstituted God's glory, declaring that God is Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor VaHaNora, that they reinstituted our recognition of the fact that God is great and mighty and awesome. Even at times of destruction, we recognize God's greatness, that He maintains the Jewish people as a whole, even though there is destruction, but the Jewish people remain extant. Hem amu shlosha dvarim, the men of the great assembly said three things. Hemu metunim badin, one must be patient before coming to justice, to decision, to adjudicate, one has to be slow to reach a decision. Ve'amidu tamidim arbe, one has to try and establish many students. Person should never feel like, oh, I already have a lot of students. No, you establish students in your youth, establish students when you're old as well. Vasusiag la Torah, and again, this is a guideline for the rabbis, try to make fences for the Torah. A person shouldn't come right to the edge where he's about to transgress. A person should keep himself a step away. So if we're not allowed to eat meat with milk, we shouldn't put meat with milk together on the table. Shimon HaTzadik, Mishnah Beis. Shimon HaTzadik haya mishrei Knesset HaGdolah. He was from the remnants of the men of the great assembly. He was the last one around. He used to say, Al shlosha dvarim olam omed. The world exists based on three things. Al HaTorah, on learning Torah. Val HaVodah, and the service of God, which is the mitzvos, which is the sacrifices. Val Gminut Chasadim, and based on doing acts of kindness to one another. These are the three pillars the world stands on. Mishnah Gimel. Antignos Ishsochoch Kibem Shimon HaTzadik. Antigone, the important man of the city Socho, he got his tradition from Shimon HaTzadik. He used to frequently say, don't be like servants whose service of the master is focused on getting rewards, but rather be like servants whose focus in serving the master is not for the sake of the reward. They'll get rewards, but their focus is not the reward. So it's not enough to serve God out of love. One must also be God-fearing. We need both in order to do proper service. We need to serve out of love, not out of anticipation for rewards, and to be God-fearing people. Mishnah Dalit. Yosef and Yezer Ish Tzredav, Yosef and Yochanan Ishu Shnayim Kiblu Mehem. Yosef ben Yehuda, the important man of the city Tzreda, and Yosef ben Yochanan, the important man of the city of Jerusalem, they received their tradition from them. Yosef ben Yehuda Omer, Yosef ben Yehuda used to say, Yehi beitcha beit vad lechachamim. Your house should be a place where the rabbis gather. That way you and your family will benefit from it. Ve'vem itabek ba'afar agdehim. And cling to the dust of their feet, meaning try to stay close to them to learn from them. Ve'veshotev atzamat divrehem, and drink their words with thirst. A person shouldn't say, oh, I've already heard this lesson, oh, I've already heard this rabbi. No, a person should always be thirsty to hear more. Yosef ben Yochanan Ishu Shnayim Omer. I'll tell you a quick story on that line. If you went to the shul in Washington Heights, so in Washington Heights today, there's a very big rabbi called Rav Hirschel Schachter. He lectures around the world. He's a big Talmid Chacham. And if you'd go to Breuer's synagogue in Washington Heights some 30 years ago, after davening, while everyone was rolling up their tefillin, Rav Breuer would be giving a short lecture in halacha. So all the balbatim, all the people who came for prayer, would stand there quickly wrapping up their tefillin. And there would be one young man standing up there listening intently to what Rav Breuer had to say. And you'd think maybe it was a young man who hadn't learned anything, maybe it was a young man who was just starting out. No, it was Rav Hirschel Schachter. He knew that Rav Breuer was a big Talmud Chacham, and if he could get even 5 minutes, a lesson of 5 minutes from him, he ran to gain the lesson. That's this concept, to drink and thirst the words of the great rabbis. You find a great rabbi, you feel you could learn from him, so drink with thirst. Try to get as much as you can out of him. I just called a guy last week. I told him, I just met your rabbi. I'm a rabbi I met in Jerusalem for the first time last week. And this student of his put me in touch with him. So the student is a big businessman in the United States. And I called up the student and I said, thank you very much for putting me in touch with your rabbi, because I think he's a wonderful, wonderful person. I really gained from the meeting. But I have to tell you that he's not a young man. I wish him longevity, but I noticed in the meeting that he's not so young. I recommend you're living in the United States. He teaches here. If you pay him a certain amount per 45 minutes per hour, try getting a seder with him once a week. I'm sure he'd agree to learn with you by phone once a week, learn with him, and take advantage. I don't know how long this guy has left. I wish him longevity, but he didn't seem to be in top condition right now. So you want to take him for yourself, you can. You can afford it. Do it. You can get the time to learn with him. Learn with him. Try to grab it. I told you guys many times, how did I get to learn with Rav Kapach one-on-one, a man who composed 30, 40 works at least, one of the biggest experts on Rambam in our time? I'd walk him home from shul. I'd go to hear his lectures, and then I'd walk him home from shul. Whenever I can, I grab Rav Bigon, I walk him home, so I get to learn from him. I could tell you many Rabbanim, that's how I learned from. I had a chavrusa with the Rosh Hashiva of Tels. How do you get a chavrusa with the Rosh Hashiva? I asked him, when does the Rav have a free hour? Once a week, tell me when, I'll come whenever is good for you. There are many Rabbanim who I got to learn with, top Rabbanim, Rabbi Beryl Wein. I wasn't the only one, a few guys. We got our own shir with him. If there's a Rav you feel you could gain from, so you have to run and try to get him. Rav Pesen Zatzal, I learned by him hundreds of hours. Private sessions. I got him when no one else was there. Rav David Feinstein. I'd bring a car to the Lower East Side just so I could give him rides and learn by him on the way. Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal. How did I learn by him? Aside from the times I went to ask him questions, I'd wait for the time he was going from shul to his house. Whenever I could, I'd catch him and walk him home. Whenever he'd come from his house to the place where he taught, I'd walk him on his way there. Wherever I could, I'd grab a ride with him. How'd I get to ask Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal so many questions? Whenever he'd go to a wedding, I'd be the chutzpan, the guy who was brazen, and I'd ask his driver for a ride back home with him. Sometimes I'd go home with him and then take a bus back to the wedding to continue dancing at the wedding. But I got my own 15, 20 minutes with the chief rabbi of Israel. No one else went. Rav Simcha Kohen Cook. How did I get to ask him questions? Every time I was at a wedding that he was there, I'd take a ride with him all the way back to Rehovot and then take a bus back to Jerusalem. But I had him in the car alone for 45 minutes. So I'm telling you, you want to take advantage, you see a big rabbi, you want to take advantage of him, so match yourself to him. If you have this attitude to drink and thirst what they have to say, so you'll be able to get out of them. You have to be thirsty. If you're thirsty, so you chase after it and you find it any way you can. Mishnah 8. Yosef Yochanan Ishu Shadayim Omer. Yosef and Yochanan, the important man of Jerusalem, said, Yivit chapatuch levacha, your house should be open wide. A person should have an open home. V'yuanim nevetecha, people should know that they're welcome to come to his house. Even the poor should be welcome in a person's house, and a person should try to hire them and give them work they can make parnasa off of. That's the biggest chesed, when you give a person a job. And don't talk too much idle chatter with a woman. V'yishtomor, sages said about one's own wife, a person should be careful not to talk too much idle chatter. Some idle chatter is important, but not too much. Kal v'chomer b'esht chavero, certainly with one's friend's wife, one isn't supposed to talk too much idle chatter. You call, you say, hi, how's everything? What is idle? How's everything doing? How are the kids? Does it pertain to you? Is it important? If it's your own children, that's not idle chatter. If it's your own children, it's talking about the weather, talking about Clinton, or I don't know what. There's a lot of pointless chatter. Think about it. Most people spend most of their life talking idle chatter. Idle chatter is a thing that's not with a point. It's just for the sake of talking. So for the sake of talking means for the sake of connecting. So a certain amount is important with one's own wife, and a certain amount is even important with your friend's wife. If you're coming to a person's house and you don't say a word, then they're not going to be comfortable. If you say good morning, how are the children, how's everyone? There are certain things that you're supposed to say a little bit just to make a person feel comfortable. I mean, if people are on the level, then the right thing is not to say anything. Bruria was on the level, and so was the Talmud, that when he came and said, which direction to the city? So she said, fool, why are you saying so many words? Should have just said, to the city. I mean, which direction to the city? You're just talking to me. You're chatting with me. That was her level. That was his level. We're not on that level. If you call my house and you just say, Modi'in,
My wife will say, what? What do you mean Modi'in? You have to say, how do I get to Modi'in? You have to introduce yourself. Who are you? So you say a few more words. That's the level we're all on. You say, hi, my name is such and such. I'm trying to get to this city. I was wondering if you could help me out. So we have to talk more things. That's on our level. Okay, on our level, it's also we say good morning, how's everyone doing? There's a certain amount of idle chatter that without it, it's just not being a mensch today. Now with a wife, so there's you need much more than that. Your wife wants to talk to you about the weather and other things, so a certain amount is important. Too much, you spend all your day chatting. That's not good either. From here, our sages taught us, when a person has too much idle chatter with a woman, he's in essence harming himself, and he's really wasting time that could be spent learning Torah, and ultimately he'll inherit perdition. And this is an important point. People take this lightly, but the world has proven this Mishnah time and again. If you spend too much time schmoozing with your neighbor's wife, you're asking for trouble. It's not the way it should be. Mishnah Vav. Now each person on his level, and it depends on the neighbor. Chazal tell us. There are those women who are very, very friendly, and their person has to maintain more of a distance. Chazal tell us, Shlomis Bas Divri. Why did she end up with an Egyptian guy? Because she was always telling everyone hello with a smile. You're not supposed to be too friendly with the mailman and the milkman and everyone else. Your job as a wife is to be modest in the house if someone comes to the door. So you treat them in a pleasant way. But there's fair and there's beyond fair. So if we're the guy, so we also have to know that there's a difference between a neighbor that's like this and a neighbor that's like that. Mishnah Vav. Yoshua ben Prachya Nitai Arbeli kiblu mehim. Yoshua ben Prachya Nitai Arbeli got their tradition from Yosef ben Yochanan and Yosef ben Yoezer. Yoshua ben Prachya Omer, Yoshua ben Prachya says, Asei lecha rav, one has to make for himself a rabbi. Uknei lecha chaver, and acquire a friend. So make a rabbi means you have to make a rabbi. That a person says, he's my rabbi, I'm going to learn from him. If you don't decide that, if you're going to wait for him to impress the socks off of you, well, either he will or he won't. Uknei lecha chaver, acquire for you a friend. And we discussed last time about the importance of making a rabbi even in situations where he's not necessarily the greatest rabbi in the world, but right now, he's what you have available. On the other hand, we discussed the criterion that Chazal told us, that the Rebbe has to be, in your eyes, a person like a saint. We don't believe in saints, no one's perfect, but you have to at least view him when it comes to his traits, that he's a good person. If you see his traits and you feel like he's not a good person, then you're not supposed to learn from him. And that means that the job is on each and every one of us to evaluate the Rebbe, and it's not a comfortable position to be in. Not to be evaluating, nor to be evaluated. Neither one is comfortable, but if you're going to make a rav, it needs to be a person who you feel is a good person. And here, okay, we discussed many points here. Uknei lecha chaver, acquire for yourself a friend. And here we discussed the importance of that, that it takes a certain investment. Ve'vedant kol adam lekav zchut, and judge every mediocre person for the benefit of the doubt. If he's a wicked person, that's not what we're talking about. If he's a righteous person, so then even when things aren't on the scale perfectly balanced, you should judge him for the benefit of the doubt. But if he's a mediocre person, an average person, and you see him doing something which you can understand this way or that way, so judge him for the benefit of the doubt. Nitai arbeli omer, nitai arbeli said, alchek mishachincha, distance yourself from a bad neighbor. Distance yourself from a bad neighbor. The Mishnah said we should distance ourselves from a bad neighbor. So gentlemen, we have to realize that we have to distance ourselves from a bad neighbor. Did everyone hear that? Why am I saying it again and again and again? Because it seems to be a point that guys in Machon Meir just don't get. Guys keep on telling me they want to move to all kinds of locations where people all around them are not keeping Torah. Sometimes it's locations where no one around them is Jewish altogether. And because that's where we come from, so people feel like, what's wrong? I grew up there and I came out from, so I could go back there and remain from. Doesn't work that way. We have to look for good neighbors. We are going to be influenced by the neighbors we have. Why is Givat Shul and Kiryat Moshe more expensive than Harnof? Harnof is a fine community. They're fine people. Kiryat Moshe and Givat Shaul is a community that aspires to a higher level in many ways, religiously. So, over here, talk to people. Why is it that in Harnof you could get a much better apartment for much cheaper? Why is it? Why? Because people are willing to pay and live in a worse apartment to be in a certain environment. You have a lot of things here. Har-Nof has many, many advantages. Why is Har-Nof more expensive than other areas? Also, because it has many, many benefits. You look at locations, people are willing to pay to live in a neighborhood, even where they're getting a lousy apartment, but they're getting very, very good neighbors. So that's reflected in the price in religious neighborhoods. In some religious neighborhoods, supply and demand. But each neighborhood has its advantages. Har-Nof has many more yeshivas than Kiryat Moshe. But as far as the people that are there, you look at the streets, there's much more modesty in Kiryat Moshe as opposed to Har-Nof. I mean, that's not... I'm with you.
Even in good neighborhoods, bad things happen.
For sure. Anyone who thinks that just because he's in a good neighborhood, bad things won't happen is kidding himself. It's not true. For sure. No one's perfect. Right. But the chances are... I'll give you an example. We used to live in one neighborhood.
Low probability.
It's not only probability. It's also how many people. Percentage. How many people are you exposed to?
Yes.
We lived in a neighborhood where every night we'd hear the husband yelling at his wife. We'd hear dogs barking. We'd hear people cursing. And now we'd wonder, what are our kids going to do when they grow up? We moved to this farm where we live now, and I remember the first morning waking up and hearing the neighbor say with his child, "Mode ani lefanecha." I turned to my wife and I said, "Oh, this is a good place. This is what I want my kid to hear when he wakes up in the morning." Yeah, there's a difference of what you hear. Now, no one's saying that because you live here, you can let your kids run in the streets, and no one's going to do something bad. Unfortunately, everywhere you go, there are bad people.
I went to school with a lot of problems. With a lot of 50% of my classmates use drugs, 25% really hard drugs. As a result of that, I was later able to communicate as a social worker easily with drug addicts, with people on the street, who came from top families. So it is not always a bad thing, isn't it?
That's true. It's true. It's not always a bad thing, for sure. When you come from the dumps and you made it out of the dumps, so then you could look back at the dumps and understand the dumps. But you have to remember that most people don't make it out of the dumps. How many of those people, if they wouldn't have been with other drug addicts, would have been themselves not drug addicts? Okay. So no one knows when he'll fall and when he'll stand up. When you stand up and you make it out of there, so then you have a lot of things to offer. You've gained a lot. But many people don't stand up to the test. And even a person who stood up to the test until now has no guarantee he'll stand up to the test in the future. So the Mishnah always warns us, distance yourself, because the tendency of most people, most of the time, is to become like their neighbors. If my neighbor is all the time focused on what kind of car, and what kind of stereo, and what kind of DVD, and that's what his kids are talking about, that's what my kids will talk about. And if that's the feeling that's pervading the neighborhood, so it'll affect me whether I like it or not. For sure, Chazal said it's like if you walk through a place where they're manufacturing perfumes, you end up smelling. You walk out smelling good. You walk through a tannery and everyone's stinking all around you, you end up smelling bad. So it works, and I never understood it till we have there's a halacha that you have a graf sharei when you have a vessel that they used to use instead of their outhouses at night. They had a vessel that they a potty, and then they take it out in the morning. So Chazal say that the potty absorbs the smell. So I never understood how could it absorb the smell. So we have in our house a little bucket, bucket made of rubber, a rubber bucket that we put bags, and the diapers are in bags in that bucket. And I have to tell you that after 2 years of having bags of diapers, the diapers don't even come in contact with the bucket. That bucket smells as bad as the diapers. It's time to switch buckets. And that's what Chazal said. Chazal said that the things absorb. So we're like that bucket. We're going to stay around dirty diapers, so it's going to affect us, whether we understand it or not. That's what happens. Don't connect with the wicked, even if they're offering you a great deal, be a business partner, this, that. Don't connect with them. And even though the wicked seem to be successful, don't give up. Things overturn in an hour, in a day, in a minute. Yudavin Tabai Shimon ben Shatach kiblu mehim. Yudavin Tabai Shimon ben Shatach got their tradition from Nitai Har Bedin Yusha ben Prachya. Yudavin Tabai Omer. Yudavin Tabai said, "Al tasa tzmecha kocha dayanim." Don't be like a lawyer telling people, "If you make a claim like this, you'll be successful." No, that's not our job to try telling people what claims to make. And when you're sitting in justice and the two are standing in front of you, don't think, well, he's got a long rabbi, he's got a long beard, he's for sure telling the truth, he's for sure the good guy. No, two people are coming to court before you, you got to think of them both as wicked people. Maybe they're both wrong. How do I know who's right? But once the case is over and they're leaving, so then you got to view them both as righteous. Even if you've ruled against one of them, you have to think, maybe he made a mistake, maybe he really thought this was right, maybe he doesn't remember correctly. You got to think of them both in a positive light. In condition that they're behaving themselves when they leave your court, that they accept your ruling. If they walk out of court and curse you out and say, oh, you bum, you don't know what you're talking about, so then you're not supposed to look at him as a righteous person. He's not. Shimon ben Shetach
says,
you should question the witnesses a lot so that you can get attain the truth. But as you're questioning them, be careful what you say. You don't want them to derive from your own words what would be a good lie for them. So be careful. You have to question at the same time. Be careful how you question. Shmaya b'avtadon kibru mehem. Shmaya and Avtalion got their tradition from them. Shmaya umel Shmaya says, love work. Point we've been making a lot the last 2 weeks. A person should love work. It's a good thing to work. Hey, you make a living, a person should love work. And hate positions of authority. Most people are the opposite. They don't want work, they do want authority. If I have authority and I don't work, that's the good life, right? No, Chazal said no. If you love work, that's good. You're working, you're making a living, good. What difference does it make if you can't find a better job and you have to be a garbage man? There's nothing wrong with that. You love work. At the end of the day, you're doing something respectful. You're making ends meet. It's not rabbanut, but a person should hate positions of authority because ultimately it harms a person. We're short-sighted and we think, it's so good. You're responsible. You're on top. It doesn't work that way. In the long run, Chazal say it shortens one's life. Valtit vadal rashut. Don't make yourself known to politicians because ultimately they cause a person to sin. A person becomes focused on how do I make them happy instead of how do I make my Creator happy. Yes?
Sometimes our does work. We understand like prayer, like tefillah. And sometimes we understand like direct sense, like work, like job. How can we know when it is work, job, and when it is tefillah, prayer, kurbanot?
You have to look at the commentary. Because it means both, you're right. Yeah. Avodah means work, and avodah means work in the temple, and avodah means the prayer that comes in place of the work in the temple.
Yes.
And avodah means prayer, which is the work of the heart. So you have to look at the commentaries. I don't know of any formula. Mishnah Yudalef, Avtalion Omer, Avtalion says, Chachamim Yizaru B'divrechem, sages, be careful what you say, Shematachu B'chuvat Galut, lest you err, and ultimately you will have to go into exile because you've erred, V'tiglulim Komayim Araim, you'll go to a place where there are bad waters, there are students who misinterpret what you say purposely, V'yishtu HaTamidim Abim Achechem, and then the students who follow you in exile will end up learning from these students who have another agenda, V'yamutu, and they'll die in a spiritual sense. They'll lose all the truths you're trying to teach them because there'll be other people listening to you who try to warp what you've said. V'nimtzashem Shemayim mitchalel, and then the name of heaven is desecrated. Hillel v'Shamayi kiblu mehem. Hillel and Shamayi got their tradition from them. Shamayi and Avtalion. Hillel omer, Hillel says, Hevim talmidav shel Aaron, a person should try to be from the disciples of Aaron. Ohev shalom, one should love peace. V'rodev shalom, one should chase after peace. One should love God's creations and bring them close to the Torah. Omer used to say, Negit Shema, if one's name has become famous, his name is extended, everyone's heard about him, Avad Shema, so before long it'll be lost. Udilo Mosif, and whoever doesn't add to the learning he already has, Yasef, he's going to pass. Udilo Yalef, and whoever doesn't derive learning altogether, he deserves the death penalty. Udishtamesh B'tagan, if he's learned, but he uses the crown of Torah for his own gains, Chalaf is going to pass from the world. Why Amir Hillel used to say, Imin anili, if I don't work for myself, Mili, who's going to work for me? Uchsha anili atzmi, and if all my focus is for myself, Mani, what am I worth? Vim lo achshav, and if I don't focus on it now, Eimatai, then when? Shammai Omer, Shammai said, Aseh to'atcha keva, one should make his learning set. We very often try to make our lives set, and then we'll fit in the learning where it works. No, have a set amount of learning. A person has to know, this hour I learn, that is set. And Chatanim, we're down to one, tell your friends, and all you potential Chatanim in the near future, Bezrat Hashem, when it's the right time, when it's the right time. I'll tell you in a second to everybody, but I'll tell you in a second what I'm referring to.
Dinner.
When I was engaged to be married, so a peasant zatzal called me in, and he said, from now on, your responsibility is to enter situations that force you to learn. Until now, you weren't responsible for your own time. When you want to learn, you learn. So you just have to work on yourself to utilize your time well. Now you're getting married, you're going to have responsibilities of a house, you no longer own your own time. If you want to learn, you have to enter situations that force you to learn. So, in order to make our Torah keva, to make it set, in the state of bachelorhood, sometimes it's good enough that we want it. Even in the state of bachelorhood, it's very good to have chavrutot, that forces us to learn set times. Once you're married, so then enter the situations where you're obligated. I tell people, give a shir. Why don't you give a shir? Give a shir. You say, I can't give a shir. Sure, you can give a shir. You'll sit down and work and prepare a shir, and you'll give a shir. So Friday night, you could have a parsha shir in your house. So you'll have four people who tend the shir. It doesn't matter. The mere fact that you have to spend time during your week preparing the shir is going to build you. You're going to live in Tel Aviv, right? I'm sure you could give a parsha shir in Tel Aviv. If not a parsha shir, a minchas chinuch shir. Or if not a minchas chinuch, a sefer chinuch shir. There are many shirim you could give. You could take simple things. The mere fact that you will know that at the end of the week I have to give a shir is going to force you to prepare. Now, if you're going to learn in a yeshiva during the day, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about working people. I said, make your Torah set. And sometimes, we have to use cunning in order to figure out how to make it work. So, we'll figure out a way. Every one of you could give a shir. And if you give a shir, invite me, I'd like to attend. I'm not joking. Shammai says, say little and do a lot. And greet every person with a warm countenance. Well, it's very important. How do we greet people? And this is the chesed that we're supposed to do when people come to our Bet Midrash and they're newcomers. So Chafetz Chaim writes, that is an aspect of Avtem Tager, to love the ger. We have to treat every ger with love. But sometimes we don't have that potential. Here in Machon Meir Baruch Hashem, we could perform the mitzvah d'oraisa in the simplest sense. But we also have to know that the mitzvah applies to newcomers that enter an institution. Someone new comes in, they're strangers, they don't know where the svarim are, they don't know how to get around. If we greet them warmly, so that's a fulfillment of this mitzvah, says Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Mishnah Tezayim, we're almost finished with the chapter. Rabbi Gamliel says, Asei lecha rav, seemingly the same thing we learned earlier. Make for yourself a rabbi. Bistarek min hasafek, distance yourself from doubt. Very often in life we deal out of doubt, and that is terrible, because then we could be either too stringent or too lenient. And life is very upsetting when you're constantly wondering. So am I allowed to scratch my head during the 9 days or not? Maybe I'll pull out of here, so I won't scratch my head. Oy vey, I won't scratch my head, I'll go crazy all day. Eventually you say, leave me, I can't deal with any of this. It doesn't work. You have to learn and then know. What about when I'm sweating bullets and my head is itching? Am I allowed to shower during the 9 days or not? If you don't know and you're too stringent, so then life is unbearable. If you don't know and you're too lenient, so sometimes you'll transgress. Tells us Rabbi Gamliel, make for yourself a rabbi. Call him up, ask him, distance yourself from doubt. Don't live life out of doubt. And don't take too many tiffs out of approximation. A person has to try to do things more accurately. Mishnah Yudzayin Shimon Bno Omer, Shimon his son said, Kol Yomai Gedalti Ben HaChachamim, throughout my days I grew up among the sages. V'lo Matzati LaGuf Tov V'LaShtika, I found nothing better for the body than silence. When one is learning, when one is among wise people, the best thing one can do is be silent and learn. When I'm talking, I'm not learning. For those of you who are going on job interviews, that's also a good thing. Listen. The more you listen, the more you gain. They want to hear what you have to say too. But the more you could delay speaking, the more you know about the place, so you know what to say. And the main point isn't just deriving, but action, to perform what we learned, to keep the Torah. And whoever talks too much ultimately brings sin. Mishnah Yudchet, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shoshat Dvarim Olam Omed. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says there are three things the world stands on. Al Adin, having justice. Val Ha'emet, and on truth, that we're truthful to one another. Val HaShalom, and on peace. As the verse says, Sheneemar, Emet U'Mishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sha'arechem. We should have truth and justice, and justice that is peaceful within the justice of our gates. So our chapter, we've concluded the first chapter, our review. B'Ezrat Hashem, we'll still do a quick review of the second chapter.